Good evening. Welcome to Next Level. My name is Rob Shepherd. I'm the lead pastor at Next Level Church, and so honored to have you tonight. If you are a first-time guest, then I want you to know that I'm about to say some things that might shock you, and I hope that you'll give us another chance next week. But if you are a first, if you're a regular attender, I want you to know that I've thought about this, and I think if you're a regular attender, if Next Level is your church, I think I'm fairly convinced that you like me. Now, if this is your first time, I don't know if you like me or not, but if you're here on a regular basis, I think that you like me. But I think that you like me based off of the information that I've given you about myself. And I try to be an open book, and I try to be incredibly authentic, but the truth is there are some things that I have about my personality or some things that I do that I keep guarded. And I wonder, if you knew these things about me, would you still like me? Would your opinion about me change if you knew things like, I really enjoy Justin Bieber's music? If you knew that, would it change your opinion about me? Now, not only do I like his music, but I know something about him. I happen to know, because I watched the documentary, that his very favorite color is purple. Would it change your opinion about me if I told you that this week I wore the exact same pair of shorts every single day without washing them? All right. Got some fans of dirty people. It's all right. Would it change your opinion if I told you that I wore those shorts while we were moving and I sweated a lot, and then I went to an outdoor event for cancer and it was blazing hot and I still wore them the next day? Would it change your opinion of me? Would it change your opinion of me if I told you that this week I discovered a game on my phone called Candy Crush? Now, would it change your opinion of me if I told you that Candy Crush is so addicting? There were multiple times where I was supposed to be working, and instead of working, I was playing Candy Crush. Would it change your opinion of me? We got some slackers in this room. What about, though, if I told you that there were multiple times when I told my wife that I was working when in reality I was playing Candy Crush? Would it change your opinion of me? Would it change your opinion of me? I know that some of you are really good with your money, and I like that about you, and I want you to be good with your money. I think that God gives us money so that we can be wise with it. And would it change your opinion of me if you knew that a few years ago, you two came to Charlottesville, and it's been a bucket list goal of mine to see you two in concert, and we paid over $800 to see you two? Would it change your opinion? You might be thinking, well, come on, you're a preacher. You could have given that money back to the church. You could have helped the poor. You could have done a lot of good things. You could have saved that for a day when you bought a house, like we bought a house and we have a house this week, and that money would come in handy. You might be thinking that. Would it change your opinion of me if I told you I was pro-choice? Would it change your opinion of me if I told you I was pro-life? Would it change your opinion of me if I told you that this summer I'm doing 4 weddings, and 2 of the weddings are people who have been divorced? That means they were married at one point, they're now no longer married, and they're marrying someone new. Even though I know that the Bible talks a lot about divorce and God is against divorce, I'm marrying them anyway. Would it change your opinion either for the better or for the worse? What if I told you, though, that one of those weddings was a friend of mine who claims to be a Christian and seems like a really good guy, but he's a homosexual? What if I told you that this summer we're going out of state and I'm performing his wedding? What if I told you that I thought homosexuality was a sin? What if I told you that I support animal cruelty? What about if I told you that in raising our kids, we've made the decision to spank? I know that's not popular with some people. I know some people are anti. Okay. She likes me. What if, though, I told you that we made that decision really early on in their life, like before they could even talk? They're 2 years old now, but I'm thinking when they were about 6 months to 8 months, they started discovering what was right and what was wrong, and we could tell. And after we gave them warnings, we would spank them, even though they were really, really little. What if I told you that? Would it change your opinion? Would it make you think more of me or less of me? What if I told you I was a Democrat? What if I told you I was a Republican? What if I told you that I don't give a rip about politics and I would forget to vote if my dad didn't remind me every election? You have an opinion on me based on the information that I've given you, and I think that you like me, but what if I told you something that you didn't like about me? I know what you would do. You would make a judgment. The truth is every single one of us in here are incredible judges. We don't need to watch TV from the hours of like 11 to 3 to find a good judge, Judge Judy, Judge Wapner, Judge Joe Brown. You can look in the mirror and find an incredible judge. It's you. You are an incredible judge. Now, let's look at what the definition of a judge is. According to the dictionary, judge is simply to form an opinion or conclusion about. To form an opinion or conclusion about. And here's the deal. Every single one of us form conclusions or opinions about people, and we do it really quickly. How many times have you formed an opinion about someone, and then it changed because you judged them poorly? It only takes about 0.5 seconds for us to make a judgment. Someone walks in the door and we look at them and we say, ooh, I don't like the way they look. I don't like them. I don't like the sound of their voice. They don't vote like me. They don't look like me. They don't talk like me. I don't like them. Or I do like them. That's a judgment. We make judgments all the time and it only takes us a few seconds. This week I heard a story about a business owner who owned a factory, and after years of owning this factory, he decided that he hadn't been in the factory in a while, and he wanted to check it out and see what was going on. And so he stopped by unannounced to the factory, and when he got there right away, he saw a young man who was standing against the wall, and he had his foot up on a box. And he gets irate because this young man wasn't doing any work, and everyone else was just working hard, and he just walks up to the young man, and he says, "Young man, how much money do you make in a week?" And the kid said, "Sir, I make about $300 a week." And the owner pulls out his wallet and pulls out $300 and slams it in the kid's hands. And he says, "Here's a week's pay. Get out of my factory. I don't ever want to see you again." And the kid walked out with his head down and walked out as quickly as he possibly could. And the owner walks up to the manager of his factory and he's just irate. And he says, "How long has that punk kid been working for me?" And the manager's eyes got big and said, "Sir, he doesn't work for you. He was just delivering a package." How often have we been in that guy's shoes, though? How often have we made a judgment about someone and we know their worth, we know their value, we know what they're up to? We say, "I know this guy, I know this situation, I know her," based off little evidence. How many times have we done that? We are incredible judges. The problem is that I would say the vast majority of you in here know that somewhere in the Bible it says, "Do not judge." We know that, and the reason that I know that most of you know that is because of a recent survey that has come out. For decades in America, when they would survey the general public, they would ask them, "When you think of the Bible, what do you think of? What verse do you know? What comes to your mind?" And for decades, the verse that came to people's minds was John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Now that's changed. That's not the verse that comes to people's minds. You know the verse that comes to people's minds now? "Do not judge." The general public, the public that doesn't go to church, the public that doesn't have a background, they say, "Oh, I don't know anything about the Bible, but I do know in the Bible somewhere it says do not judge." I don't know who said it, I don't know why they said it, but it's in there. And if you ever have a confrontation with someone about religion or about moral things, and you say, "Hey, this is the way I think you should live," they're going to throw that out there. "Ah, you're a Christian? No, 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 no. You can't judge me. It's in your book." So here's what's happened with this idea of being judgmental. I think it's made Christians, Christ followers, churchgoers, fall into two different camps. And I think on the one side, you have a camp that's over here that says, you know what? I know that somewhere it says not to judge, but God's given us the truth. And because we have the truth, it is our job to tell people the truth. And so we're going to tell them. If someone says something on Facebook we don't agree with, we're going to blast them and put a verse underneath it. If someone says something we don't like, they need to know the truth. They cannot say that and believe something that's not truth, because we have the Bible, and the Bible is truth. Then you have this camp over here, and the camp over here that's like, whoa, slow your roll on the judgment. I'm not perfect. I make lots of mistakes. So who am I to tell anyone how to live their life? So I'll just play it safe, and whatever feels good, you just go ahead and do it. I'll live my life my way, you live your life your way. Most of us have made being judgmental a black or white issue. We're either very judgmental or like everything goes. And I would say that God's desire is to find a balance. I think that we need to hold this idea of being judgmental in a tight tension. And the tension is, we shouldn't just be a group over here that just points our finger and says, it's wrong. But at the same time, we shouldn't be a group of people that's over here that just says, oh, however you want to live your life, just go ahead and live it. There should be a tension. And tonight, I want to walk you through a passage of Scripture, the passage that most people know about, which says, do not judge. And my goal in looking through this, that no matter what camp you're in, if you're in the camp over here that's all about truth and telling people the truth, if you're in that camp, or if you're in this camp that just says, oh, you know, I'm all about grace, whatever feels good, do it. No matter what camp you're in, my goal is to bring you somewhere in the middle. We're in a series kicking off tonight called The Tension is Good, and I know that a lot of you are black or white type people. You like things to be right or wrong, but in this series, we're going to look at some things that aren't right or wrong. It is a tension that needs to be balanced, and the tension is good. So with that in mind, let's dive into our text for tonight and see what it has to say for us. This is Jesus talking, just in case anyone asks you who said it. He says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. Now, that's pretty black and white, right? I don't need to preach anymore. We don't need to read anything else. That case in point, do not judge. It's in there. Let's just go home. Let's beat the crowds to dinner. Let's just cut this thing early, right? Or is there more to this than what we're looking at? You see, I encourage you on a regular basis to read the Bible for yourself. I think you need to do that. But in reading the Bible for yourself, one thing that you need to do is figure out the context. What is a verse saying? If you don't figure out the context, you can make the Bible say anything that you want it to say. And this verse, without the context, says something that I don't think Jesus intended to say. Well, how do you figure out the context? You need to look at the verses before and the verses after whatever is said. And so Jesus says, do not judge. What's the context of this? Well, this is given in a sermon. Some people say it is the greatest sermon ever given. We now call it the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus was teaching the general public, but he was specifically teaching them against the teachings of his day. There was a group of religious leaders called the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were all about morality and showing that they were better than other people. They would make a decision, and then they would look down on other people and make other people feel bad for their decisions. So they would do things, and Jesus addresses them. They would do things like they would give a large sum of money to the poor, and then they would look down on someone and say, you didn't give what I gave. Or they would make moral decisions, and they would make decisions, and they had such a high standard that they weren't sinning like everyone else. But because of that, they would make a decision and say, whoa, why are you sinning? I don't struggle with that. And so you had this group of religious leaders who were preaching, who were telling the crowd, hey, listen, you need to be righteous like us. We're the best dogs in town. You need to be more like us. And Jesus comes on the scene and he gives a sermon and he basically debunks everything that the Pharisees have been teaching. Now that's important to know, because in order to do that, Jesus had to make a judgment. He had to judge that what the Pharisees were teaching was not right and true. In fact, in one point in his sermon, he says, do not be like the hypocrites. Well, in order for Jesus to say that, he has to declare that someone is a hypocrite. What's a hypocrite? Someone that knows the truth but does the opposite of it on purpose. And specifically, Jesus calls out the Pharisees, and he says, they are hypocrites. So Jesus is making judgments left and right. So it's important to know that, because when Jesus comes on the scene and says, do not judge, it can't mean what it looks like it means, because he would then be a hypocrite, right? Do you get that? If Jesus makes judgments left and right and then says, don't judge, something else has to be going on here. And I think when you put this verse in context, you can understand exactly what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, do not be hypercritical. Don't be like the Pharisees who look down at other people. Don't look at them and say, you know what? You're not as good as me. God must not love you like he loves me. Don't look at people and say, oh, you don't have your act together. I don't like you. Don't judge. Jesus is saying, don't be like the Pharisees, these hypercritical guys that are constantly looking down at people and saying that they're better than them. Don't be like those guys. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Now that last part is really important for us as Christians. If you're a Christian today, that's incredibly important for you. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want God to judge me. I don't want God to judge me based on the things I've done, right or wrong. Because I'm going to fall short every time of God's standard. So I don't want God to judge me. I don't want God to look down and say, oh, you messed up 27 times in this one area. Oh, you messed up 100 times. Oh, Rob, by this age, you should have got this right. I don't want God to judge me. So what do I need to do? I need to receive his grace and then give it to other people. Do not judge. Why? Because you're going to be judged like you judge others. I've been thinking about this a lot, and I need you to stick with me on this thought, because you may not see where I'm going right at first, but I've been thinking a lot about the church, and not just Next Level Church, the church as a whole. And one of the things that I've been thinking about is what is the one thing that the church is supposed to have that no other organization in the world has? What's the one thing that the church offers that people can't get anywhere else? And I think if we were having a dialogue, you might would say something like, well religion, it gives you a path to God. And I would say you don't need the church to find a religion. There are a ton of wackadoo religions out there that don't meet in a church. Like, have you ever heard of universe people? Universe people, this is a true, legit religion. Universe people, the founder, he is literally Coco for Cocoa Puffs. This guy believes that he has a psychic link with aliens that are orbiting around the earth nonstop. And they constantly are giving him a message about our performance. This guy's real. He has followers. This is a religion. And so people don't need the church to find a religion. They can find it anywhere. So what is the thing that the church offers that no one else offers? Well, maybe you would say fellowship. Because I don't know about you, but one of the things that I absolutely love about the church is the church is where friendships are made. I met my wife by going to church. All my best friends have been found through the church. I love the church because of fellowship. But I would say that you can get fellowship and community in other places besides the church. Just join a bowling league. You don't need the church to have fellowship. So if you don't need it for religion or to find some path to God, and you don't need it for fellowship, what do you need the church for? Morality? You can get morality other places. Just join the Boy Scouts. Or for those of you that don't qualify for the Boy Scouts, join the Girl Scouts. They'll teach you morality. So what is the one thing that the church has that no one else is selling? Grace. Grace is the one thing that we have as Christians. What is grace? Grace is getting what you don't deserve. It's making a poor choice and still getting an A. It's hurting someone and still being blessed. It's not playing the lotto and still winning $1 million. Like, you don't get what you deserve. That is grace, and no one else is preaching, teaching, selling grace. But the church should be. Why? Because when God looks at you, what does he give you? Grace. He doesn't give you what you deserve. You know what you deserve? You deserve death and hell. Every single one of us in here has sinned. Every single one of us has turned our backs on God. And yet, despite our worst decisions, God sent his son to die for us, to die for you. That's grace. And because we have received grace, we should give grace back to others. I think that when you ask the general public, what do they think about the church? They don't think about grace. I think they think about judgment. And I study pop culture and I love movies and I see this pop up over and over again. I don't know if you've seen the movie, I think it's called Easy A. There's a scene in the movie that is a reflection of what I think the general public thinks of the church. And I want to show that to you tonight. Check it out.
We have a problem. Olive Pendergast.
We need to pray for her.
Amen.
I'm sure you guys heard what happened at Melody Bostick's party.
I was there. I heard the whole thing.
That's not something you need to advertise, Kurt.
Sorry. But I was.
I tried to witness to her, but this girl is defiant to any type of help. Does anybody here think they can talk to her in a way that might get her to see what she's doing is wrong? It's okay. I'm sorry, you guys. This is so stupid.
No, it's not, Marianne. It's real. It's real.
Jesus tells us to love everyone. I mean, even the whores and the homosexuals, but it's just so hard. It's so hard because they keep doing it over and over again. Make me a promise. Make God a promise, right here and right now, that we will remain pure and chaste until marriage.
We promise.
Awesome, 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 awesome. I love you guys. God loves you guys. Now let's change lives today. Micah.
When Israel was in Egypt, stand, let my people go. I pressed so hard they could not stand. Let my people go.
Go down, Moses, go down to Egypt, pray. Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. To let my people go. To let my people, to let my people, to let my people.
First time I watched that movie, like, literally my heart broke because that is the opinion of Christians. That Christians have placed themselves on a throne and they're there to point out the sins of other people. And then they say, oh, God loves you and we're here to change the world, but don't you dare do something that is against our God. As a church, I want us to change that opinion. I want us to be a church of grace. But that doesn't mean that you say, everything goes. Whatever feels good, just do it. There needs to be a balance. There needs to be a tension of grace and truth. Let's see what Jesus goes on to say. Jesus says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Now, essentially what Jesus is saying is he's starting this idea, and this idea, he wraps it up at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, look at what Jesus says. He says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and prophets. So after Jesus teaches this really long sermon that has a bunch of points and is about a bunch of different things, he says, let me summarize what I'm telling you. At the end of the day, treat other people the way that you would like to be treated. So when it comes to making a judgment about someone, what should we do? We make a judgment the way we would want someone to judge us. Let me ask you a question. When you go to a restaurant, do you tip based off of grace or works? Do you tip based off of their performance? Or do you tip them the same no matter what because you want to show them grace? You see, no one would fault you for tipping them for what they deserve, because everyone in our society is just, it's works-based. You do something for me, I'll do it for you. You like me, I'll like you. You cross me, though, I'll cross you. Everything in our society, every business, everything is based on this works-based. You do something for me, and then I'll do something for you. And Jesus comes along and says, you can't do anything for me. I love you, period. You can't do anything to get my attention or make me love you more, and you can't do anything to make me love you less. I love you, period. That's grace. And if we have grace, we should be a people of grace. So when we judge, when we make a judgment about someone, we should do so in a way that we would like to be judged. Now, Jesus goes to show us the way that we should judge by giving an incredible word picture. Look at what Jesus says. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. By Jesus saying that, he's making a judgment. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Translation, all of us got junk in our eyes, right? Like, if I look at someone else and I make a judgment and say, I can't believe they struggle with that. I can't believe they look at that. I can't believe they drink that. Well, who am I to judge their sins when I've got junk in my own life? And what Jesus is saying, he's not saying, hey, that means that you should never make a judgment. That doesn't mean that you should never speak truth into someone's life. In fact, the Bible tells us that we should speak the truth in love. What Jesus is saying is there are some times where you need to speak the truth in love to a brother, to a friend. And you do this in love. And when you do it, before you say anything to them, examine yourself. Why is that important? Because before I can point out your sin, if I'm looking at my sin, I'm going to show you a lot of grace. Because I've jacked things up. I've messed up over and over and over again. So if I were to come to you over an issue in your life, I would say, hey, I just want to tell you, I'm not judging you. I don't think less of you. But because I love you, there's an area that I think we need to work on. That way that you're spending your finances and you keep getting in debt over and over again, you're up to $10,000 of credit card debt, I can help you get out of that. If you don't listen to me, I won't judge you. I won't think less of you. You're still my friend. But I want to teach you something. Hey, let me tell you, I know that you're on your third marriage, and I want you to know, I don't judge you for that. You're not my friend because you've been married only once. I love you despite whatever's gone on in your past. But I want to teach you some things about marriage that I think will help this marriage be a success. And it's not because I judge you. It's because I love you. And I want to help you. And if you don't accept this, hey, you need to know, I'll never open my mouth again. I'll never say anything else to you. I'm not here to judge you or to play judge. I'm here to help you in love. So there are some things. There are some specks that we should point out from time to time in our friends, in the people that we love's life, because it'll help them, because we love them. But before we do that, we need to yank the plank from our own eye. Jesus goes on to conclude this section by saying, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Now, I got to tell you that if it were not for scholars who wrote commentaries, I wouldn't have a fat clue what Jesus just said, because that sentence makes no sense to me. I was tracking with him with all the judgment thing and with the plank thing. I was there with him. But in this thing about pearls and pigs, I was like, what in the world is he talking about? But this idea of pearls to pigs would have been something that Jesus' audience would have known about. And this is what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, if you had something nice, if you had something with great value, like pearls, you wouldn't offer your pearls to pigs. Why? Because pigs don't know what to do with pearls. They would eat them. They would stomp on them. They would roll around on them. They wouldn't be like, oink, oink, and put them on and be like, don't I look nice, right? Pigs don't know what to do with pearls. And so this is what Jesus is saying. If you have the truth, and you have the truth of God's word, be very careful who you give it to, because some people cannot handle the truth. And so if there's an instance where you know a truth that is going to help someone out, you can go to that person in love and you tell them, hey, I'm not judging you. I just want you to know, in love, this is an area that I think I can help you out with. Or this is an area, it might be a blind spot to you. But if they get defensive, if they reject it, it just means they're not ready for the truth. So you go back and you pray for them. And you pray that God would change their heart. And you pray that you could model what it means to live whatever you're trying to teach them. But we don't throw out truth just to everyone, because some people can't handle it. And what did Jesus say? People that can't handle it, not only can they not handle it, they'll turn it back on you. So don't be cramming truth down people's throats when they're not ready for it. So here today is the way that I want to conclude. I want to give you some simple questions that you need to be asking yourself. And no matter what camp you're in, if you're in the grace, 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 everything feels good, just doesn't matter. If you're in that camp, you need to ask these questions. Or if you're in this camp and you kind of are the type of person who's like truth, 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 no matter what camp you're in, you need to ask these questions, because these questions are going to help us live with the tension of judgment. We provide for you a note section. I encourage you to write these down. I don't have time to go over the verses that are associated with this, but all these are from the Bible. And so I'd encourage you to write these verses down and spend some time tonight or this week actually looking up these verses, seeing what they say, making sure that I'm not just pulling junk out and selling it to you. This is legit from the Bible. handful of questions for you to ask to help you deal with the tension of judgment. Number one, is it within my authority? Is it within my authority? 1 Thessalonians 4:11, 1 Peter 4:15, and Romans 14:4. Is it within my authority? Here's what that means. If it isn't your business, don't make it your business. If it has nothing to do with you personally or your family, if it's not affecting you, if the outcome of it is not going to change things with you, keep your nose out of it. Don't go jumping in other people's business and telling them how to live their life. You wait until you have something at stake. You wait until you're friends with them or until you've invested in them. You wait. Don't be cramming truth down people's throats if it's not your business. I think that's a biblical idea, and I think it'll help us with the tension of when we should judge. Number two, do I know the facts? Do I know the facts? Job 1:8 through 11. Job is the story of a man of God who was righteous, but Satan comes and he says to God, he says, the only reason that Job likes you is because you blessed him. Let me take everything from him. And so Job was judged by the devil, and specifically his motives were judged. I think it's safe to say we can take from that that if you judge someone's motives, it is a satanic activity. You don't know people's motives. So don't look at someone and say, oh, I know why they did that. I know why they go there. I know why they haven't been here for a while. If you haven't heard the reason, don't judge. Don't judge people's motives. Make sure that you know the facts. When I was a senior in high school for my prom, I had probably one of the top 10 worst date nights in the history of date nights. And if something could go wrong, it went wrong from the start of the night to the end of the night. It ended up being a pretty funny thing, but it ended with, just to make a long story short, it ended with my date going to after prom with another guy. And I told her that that was cool, and I was going to go to after prom and still hang out and have fun, and then I was going to take her home afterwards at like 2 or 3 in the morning, whatever time after prom ended. But now, because I was riding by myself, I had to find after prom. And we went to a small private school, and so it was at someone's house. And so this was in the day and age before cell phones, before Google Maps, before any type of help. And I have a horrible sense of direction. And so I left prom. I had no one with me. And I'm driving to find this person's house, and I couldn't find it. And I drove around from about midnight to about 3 in the morning trying to find this person's house. And I didn't know who to call. I didn't have any numbers on me. I didn't have a cell phone. And so I finally just gave up. And I was like, okay, it's almost over anyway. Someone had to have given her a ride home. When I got to school on Monday, no one in my class would talk to me. And everyone was giving me the cold shoulder. And like literally, I would try to talk to someone and they would just glare at me and walk past me. And I finally stopped the guy in the hall and I just held him and I said, you got to tell me what's going on. I don't know why everyone's mad at me. And he said, what do you mean? You left her at after prom. You got your feelings hurt, and so you just made her find another ride home. And so we had to scramble together and try to take her all the way home. And I was like, no, that's not the truth. The truth is I couldn't find after prom, and I drove around till 3 in the morning. And then he said, oh. And everything was better once they knew the truth. But people made a judgment about my motives before they had all the facts. And you do the exact same thing. And when you do, I believe it's a satanic move. Let's keep going. Is my judgment hypocritical? Romans 2:1, 2 Samuel 12:1 through 11. Don't judge someone and look down on someone that is struggling with something that you know you struggle with. When I was in college, there was a scandal that went on with a famous preacher. Maybe you've heard of him. His name is Charles Stanley. And Charles Stanley went through a divorce while I was in college. Now, this set ripples through my Bible school. And everyone was talking about Charles Stanley, and specifically what they were talking about is, should Charles Stanley still be preaching because now he's divorced? And I went over to my friend's house one night, and he asked me what I thought about Charles Stanley getting a divorce. And I said, truthfully, I don't have an opinion about it because I don't know all the facts about Charles. I don't know if he wanted the divorce or if his wife did. I don't know if he had an affair and then she got out of it, or if she had an affair and he got out of it, which are biblical grounds for a divorce. I don't know anything about it. I just know that the paper released that Charles Stanley got a divorce. And he said, well, I know. I know what Charles Stanley should do. Charles Stanley needs to quit his church. Because the Bible says that if you can't take care of your own family, you can't take care of God's family. That's a true statement. The Bible does say that. The problem is the guy that told me that was married to a girl that he got pregnant before they were married. And now he's in Bible school to be a preacher. And I looked at him and I just thought, really? And you're going to tell someone else they can't preach, but then you're going to accept God's grace and forgiveness and you're going to preach? Like, who are we to judge someone? Don't judge someone if you're being hypocritical. Number four, am I judging in haste? Proverbs 18:13. Proverbs 18:13 says that a fool answers before they even know the question. Do you know the question? Are you judging in haste? Are you making a judgment before you even ask the questions? Do you like someone before you get to know them? Do you hate someone before you get to know them? Don't judge people in haste. Number five, is my judgment beyond God's word? Colossians 2:20-23. Is my judgment beyond God's word? There are some things in the Bible that are black and white. There are some things that the Bible says you should do this and you should not do this. There are some things that the Bible says you should believe this and you should not believe that. There are some things that are black and white. But there are a lot of things that today are just in gray areas. And if it's a gray area but you have a conviction about it, that's great. Live with your conviction. Just don't put your conviction on other people. Because if the Bible doesn't say to do it, then it's great for you not to do it, but it's also okay for them to do it. Number six, is my judgment given with mercy? Ephesians 4:15. Is my judgment given with mercy? At the end of the day, our goal, if you're making a judgment, is that someone would fall more in love with God. We don't want them to say, oh yeah, you're right. We don't want them to feel bad and feel awful and feel like God doesn't love them. We want them to change. Why? Because we see something that is prohibiting their relationship with God or their relationship with other people. So you are called to make judgments. But when you judge, judge with grace. And judge the way that you would want to be judged. When you do that, I think we'll change people's opinion about the church and about Christians. Let's pray. God, we come before you and we thank you that you show us grace and you show us mercy. And we thank you that despite the fact that we've screwed up and messed up and sinned every which way, you still love us and our worth is not based on what we've done or how we've done it. We thank you that our worth is based solely on what your Son did for us on the cross. And so God, today we just claim that. We ask that you'd make that truth known to us. We ask that you'd help us to accept it. God, help us to know that we're loved by you. Help us to know it and live it. Help us to show your grace to a world that has never even heard of it and doesn't even know it exists. God, help us to be what you've called us to be. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. We thank you so much for this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.